James Whitey Bulger led the Winter Hill Gang, an Irish-American crime family based in South Boston, from around 1979 to 1994. He was often hailed as a local hero and a modern-day Robin Hood dedicated to protecting the neighborhood and its residents. But in reality, he was a hardened criminal who created an empire based on extortion and intimidation and murdered over 50 people. The new book, Most Wanted, Pursuing Whitey Bulger, the Murderous Mob Chief the FBI Secretly Protected, is the riveting account of former head of Massachusetts State Police Thomas Foley's 20-year pursuit of the Boston gangster and of Foley's key role in exposing the FBI's protection of Bulger's criminal empire. Incredibly, it was a member of the FBI who originally tipped off Bulger to his impending arrest, undoing nearly two decades of painstaking investigation by a small band of state police officers and a DEA agent. The name of the book, again, Most Wanted, Pursuing Whitey Bulger, the Murderous Mob Chief, the FBI Secretly Protected, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Thomas Foley to the roundtable this morning. Sir, thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
When did you first hear the name Whitey Bulger?
Well, as a new trooper, he was stationed actually in the western part of the state of Massachusetts when I first came on to state police. And then after a few years, I moved towards the central part of the state, and they were starting up a new organized crime unit that was supposed to be working very closely with the FBI, and it was just post the Angiulo crime family indictments. And so I got an early education working very closely with the FBI in the Boston area investigating organized crime at the time. And it was at that time where Bulger's name started coming up quite a bit in a lot of our investigations, actually. He was, he was actually a lot higher in priority for us on the state police than some of the LCN, or La Cosa Nostra Mafia individuals at the time, so... early as a trooper, I got to know a lot about Whitey Bulger and what he was doing.
How, you get the sense in the book that this was really, for much of your career, was really your focal point. I mean, obviously you were working on other stuff, but this was really the elephant in the room, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was the elephant in the room because it was such a difficult investigation to deal with, and chasing the bad guys, Joe, is something that we do all the time. So, I mean, and that's the challenge here. But the difficult part of this thing was when we started running into all kinds of roadblocks with, you know, people that were supposed to be working alongside us. And it ended up turning into an investigation, an internal investigation, instead of just focusing on the bad guys out there where the good guys were the bad guys, you know. So we had a parallel investigation going on with Bulger, and then we had this other area that we had to take with where people were trying to compromise our cases and knock us off the Bulger investigation, namely speaking, was the FBI.
I do want to talk about the FBI. I also want to talk, before we do that, though, let's talk about Billy Bulger, who is Whitey's brother and a state politician, and really had a hand in a lot of this, didn't he, as far as I mean, you certainly get the idea in the book that he impeded you in many ways of getting to the bottom of the case.
Well, there was a very close brotherly relationship between Billy Bulger, who was the Senate president at the time, and James Whitey Bulger, and they, you know, fed off each other's positions, actually. You know, it was a joke at the time, a lot of times in Boston, that, you know, Whitey Bulger, he's like a Robin Hood. Yeah, he was involved in crime, but he also helped the old and the poor, and you know, a lot of that persona was out there, put out there by the FBI, that this really wasn't that bad of a guy. And at the same time, he had Billy Bulger, who was probably the most powerful person in Massachusetts politics, he was. And, you know, when he was in there, and a lot of times during these years, you had Governor Bill Weld, who was a former U.S. attorney, but he was very close to Billy Bulger himself. So, as an investigative team on the state police, when we were conducting this investigation and we were starting to find out that there was a relationship between the Bulgers and the FBI real closely, that it made it even harder for us because we had really had nowhere to turn, nowhere to go for that support or to take it to another level. And it made the investigation even more complicated.
If there is such a thing as a normal when you're talking about such extraordinary circumstances, by the book, how should the FBI have become involved? Because, I mean, you write that they insisted on leading the search for 16 years, and as you say, ultimately leading to the speculation that they were not committed in finding him at all. So, by the book, how would the FBI have gotten involved, if at all?
Well, in a situation like this, you do not put somebody on an informant status like Bulger was, like the FBI did. Bulger should have been a target, not an informant. And you don't protect people that are out there murdering people, and you just can't do that. And you can't have informants out there at that level. Basically, Bulger was manipulating the FBI. It wasn't the FBI manipulating Bulger. And they were giving him all kinds of valuable information about ongoing investigations, but he was giving them very little in return. You know, the FBI, in this case here, should have, and particularly not align themselves with the bad guys, but actually, you know, you got other law enforcement agencies that are targeting them, and they're tipping them off as to what we're doing. And that can put other law enforcement investigators' lives in danger. When you're doing a search warrant or you're conducting an arrest and you're kicking in the door, these guys are waiting for you on the other side. It's just too dangerous. It's not a way to operate in our business. And it was very frustrating that the FBI for so many years couldn't see that. And it was actually to the point where they felt threatened by the fact that we were going after one of their informants, and the loyalty to the informant was paramount over the fact that we were out there trying to maintain public safety, and that wasn't their priority. And that's where the frustration, and actually, as time went on, you know, we had trouble dealing with it, in that we couldn't understand where they were coming from.
The state police, as you just alluded to, the state police had an undercover trooper gathering information on a high-level organized crime figure who was working with Whitey Bulger. A search warrant was going to be executed by your team, and you notified the FBI. Did you have to notify the FBI?
Well, that was a lot of the stuff that was going on at the time with the politics in the state. Joe, I'm a sergeant or a lieutenant at the time in the unit, and the FBI is going to my superiors saying, hey, Foley and his crew, they're out there doing things, we don't know what they're doing, you know, these investigations are going to clash, whatever reasons they gave. And I would get from my superiors, hey, make sure you coordinate with the FBI. And, you know, I would say to them, yeah, when we do that, our investigations are being compromised. But you know, even some people in my own department did not want to take on the politics of this. And, you know, so I had to at times, you know, call them and just say, we will be hitting this place with a search warrant, as I was ordered to do. And numerous times, the resulting part of the whole thing would be the fact that investigation would be compromised. But I always held something where we weren't going to be totally knocked out, where we could, you know, that avenue might be closed, but there's an open avenue over here where we can continue. And that's how we kind of wiggled our way through it. And it took us years to do it. But, you know, and what the book details in there is the numerous times that we were compromised. And what came out of those situations was a patent started developing that anybody that looked at it was going to say, yeah, wow, these guys were right in what they're saying. They are being compromised all these years. So it was, and we were taking personal attacks at the time. At one point, I was transferred out of my unit, put back into uniform, you know, as a result of complaints from the FBI and so forth. So, you know, it did consume a lot of my career, Joe, and but we felt as troopers assigned to the organized crime unit, that was our job, to investigate organized crime. And if we didn't investigate Bulger and his partner, Stephen Riffman Fleming, then we weren't doing our jobs, and we were going to be part of the problem. So we stuck to it until we could get it done.
You were not on the case when he was finally captured. However, you did play a key role in sending John Connolly, who was Bulger's FBI handler, to prison for the rest of his life. What was your reaction when, in June of 2011, he was finally captured?
Well, there was I was relieved. I was happy for the families of the victims, which we got to know pretty closely over the years, and we recovered 6 bodies out of the ground, and were able to return those bodies to their families to give them some closure. So we got to know the families pretty well and knew what they were going through and the struggles over the years that they had encountered as a result of the activities of Bulger. So it was nice to see them get a little bit of consolation when he was captured. My frustration still lies in the fact that it's 16 years, it should never have gone on that long. I don't think that the fugitive investigation was conducted the way it should have been, and the U.S. attorney put the FBI in charge of that, and our role was extremely diminished, and they ran with it for those 16 years. It should have happened a lot sooner, but even more, he should never have been in an informant status in the first place. We should never have been in that situation. He should never have been given the protection he had for so long.
2 questions. One is the thing that comes out of the book is the frustration, and this is legendary, the lack of cooperation between the FBI and the CIA, the lack of the cooperation between local law enforcement and the FBI. What does it take, from your perspective, a very inside perspective, what does it take to change that dynamic that would allow cooperation between agencies so that you all can be more efficient?
That's a great that's the crux of the issue, what I'm trying to get at here, and that's a great question, Joe. In that, from my personal perspective here, is that I think an agency like the FBI has to go beyond the J. Edgar Hoover days where, they walk into the room and they're going to be in charge and they're going to call all the shots. We need a strong, viable FBI. There's no doubt about it. And there's a lot of excellent FBI agents out there. But there has to be more of a cooperative attitude, not just an arrogant agency arrogance coming in and saying, we're in charge and that's what it's going to be and that's the end of it. And don't question any kind of activities that we get engaged in. It's none of your business. What they need to do, and I think that culture starts maybe at the FBI Academy, is to start saying, all right, let's start working better together with our other law enforcement agencies where we can work as a team and not talk down. At one point I went to them and said, listen, we're not doing anything really substantial with the fugitive investigation. Let's bring in the Marshals Service, give them everything we have, and let's see what they can do, and we'll work for them. And, the FBI said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not handing over the fugitive investigation. And if we're going to be involved, we're going to run it. So, you've got to have that flexibility there. I think that ability to get along is lacking in a lot of areas. It's more of a superiority type thing and an image situation than what we're trying to do as far as, public safety concerns are.
Well, the name of the book is Most Wanted, Pursuing Whitey Bulger, the Murderous Mob Chief the FBI Secretly Protected. The book is published by Touchstone, and as we mentioned, of course, this case will go to trial in November of this year, and it's a fascinating book about a really interesting investigation and at times a tragic one. Thomas Foley, I can't thank you enough for all your work as well as joining us this morning on the program. I appreciate
it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Most Wanted. It's published by Touchstone by Thomas Foley. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.